It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I quote the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
Who's the new guy?
Brought in the big guns, Rod. We brought in the big guns, buddy.
Big game, big guns. There you go. What's up, Evan?
How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good.
Life is good, man. 2-1. Rolling here. You know what's wild about this rivalry here? And I see some people in the comments section saying that this is not a rivalry. That's nonsense. This is actually, I would argue, Sherrod, maybe the best rivalry in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
you know what's bizarre about this series?
What?
Road team wins all the time.
Yep.
Road team wins all the time.
It's been that way forever and a day. I think the Celtics, like the last 4 or 5 years, have some ridiculous 60, 70% winning percentage or something sick like that in Miami. And it is a rivalry because, I mean, you've met this team each of the last 3 years, four of the last five in the playoffs, and it hasn't been one team that has won all of those matchups. So if you have a little bit of a back and forth, we kind of classify that as a rivalry. And it's a fun series. I mean, you've got smack talking. You got, you know, guys getting each other's faces. I've been a little bit disappointed that some of the regular season antics that we saw between these two have not played out. I was especially looking forward to, you know, Duncan Robinson and Jaylen Brown getting into it because they got into it during a regular season. I was kind of looking forward to that, but that hasn't quite materialized yet. But it's a good series. It's going longer than I thought it would. I absolutely expected the Celtics to sweep this thing. Because I'm looking at that Miami team. I thought this was the one year if the Celtics were ever going to sweep them, this would be the year. No Jimmy, no Terry Rozier. And then you start looking around and then it's just like, Tyler Hero is your number one option. Okay. I feel pretty good about a playoff series where Tyler Hero is the number one option. Or maybe number two, Bam Adebayo. I guess you'd probably say Bam is probably the number one option. But this was a good game. I mean, the Celtics, they just reminded, I think, the entire world why they had the best record in the NBA this year, why only three teams in Celtics history ever have won more games than this team. This was a 20-point win, and I didn't feel like the Celtics had to really sweat or work particularly hard to get it. They just kind of did what they normally do.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, like, you know, this is a team that I think in this game started out, as you and I were chatting back and forth pre-show, this is a team that came out defensively a little determined to say, hey, you know, we watched that Miami team hit a record amount of three-pointers last game. That stuff's not happening tonight. We're gonna actually play better defense. We're going to pressure the shooters on the outside. We're going to get in hero space. If Bam wants to beat us with all these turnaround, couple of different fakes, and I'm going to do a fadeaway over the right or left shoulder and hit it over Porzingis. We're going to live with that all game long. You're not getting threes, and Boston just did a tremendous job of that. I think they worked pretty hard defensively. At a certain point, offensively, didn't matter anymore. But I think they really – I think Joe Mazzulla and everybody else said, hey, this is going to be one of these things where this is not happening tonight. What happened in game two is an anomaly. We'll let them have that one, but the water shut off tonight, and we're going to start right from the jump. I thought, Sherrod, right from the beginning, the defensive intensity, what was it, like 12-3, 13-3, first start of the game was just absolutely unbelievably, you know, impressive for a team that has been known to play with their food a little bit, right? Like, this is a team last year, like, yeah, you know, oh, it's the Hawks, like, who cares? Like, oh, it's, you know, Philly, we'll get them, and then it goes seven, and then, of course, the Miami debacle, you know, with the loss in Boston. It's a team that plays their food a little bit. Didn't play their food tonight, Sherrod, right from the get-go, and that's what I'm looking for.
They didn't, but again, this was The way they defended in this game was similar, I thought, to what they did in game one. And to me, game one is like normal Celtics play. What we saw in game two, you're right, that was very atypical of what they do. But I didn't think that the Celtics like stepped their game up in from the standpoint of this is what they do in the regular season, and now they really have to step their game up. They pretty much did what they normally do in a regular season. We just didn't see that in game two. And I gotta give Joe Mazzulla his props, because we're pretty hard on Joe. Because Joe does some things that leaves us scratching our heads a lot. But that was not the case. He had a very clear game plan of wanting to be aggressive, be assertive, close out on shooters much better than they did. I thought, but he still has dropped coverage that I don't understand why they still do that. When even though Miami doesn't take a lot of threes, which I think is part of the thinking behind that, they typically shoot pretty good. You look at their shooters, most of those guys are in the mid to high 30s, low 40s as three-point shooters. They just don't take that many. The one game they took a ton of them, game two, they knocked them down, which really shouldn't have been that big a surprise when you look at their overall shooting percentage numbers. But I thought the big difference in this game defensively, to be candid with you, Evan, was that whenever Miami had a little bit of space, the Celtics shut that off quickly. Like before, they would just drop coverage and just kind of let them shoot. Now they were getting in their space the minute they had even the slightest inkling that Tyler Herro or Caleb Martin or, you know, any of those guys were looking to shoot. And their ability to close out forced Miami to like, oh, crap, we're not going to get any good looks anymore. So we got to do something else. And, you know, Bam Adebayo was the only guy they had that played pretty much the way he played in game two. Everyone else was significantly weaker and less impactful than they were in game two.
Yeah, no question. And I think what was maddening about the game two loss was Boston's a team that has a bunch of perimeter defenders on it, like really good ones. And it just seems a little far-fetched that they would get roasted on the perimeter like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's to me, as I have to get rid of this ad currently, that's playing in the background. I apologize, everybody.
I was like, where's Evan's guess?
Yeah, no, but if you look at like what Miami shot, like Herro, 3 of 9, Hawkins, 0 of 3. Caleb Martin only took 2, and one of them was awful. Mm-hmm. Their bench guys, Highsmith, 0 for 2. Duncan Robinson only had 1 shot. Patty Mills had 2 just at the end of the game. We're in garbage time at this point, right? So you shut off the – like, Miami has turned this particular series – like, game two was a math problem. Miami understands they are in the talent pool here. And I'm not trying to say that Miami doesn't have a bunch of professional basketball players on it. They do. But the talent gap is significant. And what Miami is banking on is, look, Boston has a tendency to run cold from 3 in games. Spoelstra adds his little black magic to whatever the heck it is that they do that gets Boston out of rhythm offensively all the time. It combined that with Miami saying, look, if we're going to win this game, we need to hit a lot of threes to do this. And, of course, game two, you have that tonight. Obviously not the case. Boston, of course, let them walk into threes in game two, which was obnoxious. Here in game three, those walk-in threes, not quite there. And that's the thing for Miami. It's like, well, if Boston's going to shut off our three-pointers and we're not hitting them at an outrageous clip, then there's just no chance. And I'm not trying to, like, look, Miami's an impressive program, right? I don't care. Their regular season is garbage. You throw it out. Like, as long as they make the playoffs and take them seriously. Their program, their culture, their friend, it's impressive what they do. But this, they're stacked against the wall here, and yeah, letting them get one in Boston, not a shock to me because it's just the way Miami goes. But Boston's going to win this series. Let's get real, everybody. Boston's going to win this thing. Flex their muscle tonight. Tatum, Brown, Porzingis back in the positive column. I thought Derek White hitting some shots, especially in the second half, that was big for them. You know, they big boyed Miami all night. You know, Tyler Herro trying to start something at the end of the game by throwing the ball to against Sam Hauser and trying to start something with Peyton Pritchard. That's hysterical to me. That means you're living rent-free in your head right now and you got to relax.
Exactly. I mean, let's be real. The Celtics play 8 players and you decide as the number one or two option, depending on how you want to look at Tyler's status, you're going to pick on the seventh and eighth guy. That's who you're going to go at. Not Tatum, not Brown, not Derek White, not Jrue Holiday. I mean, there's so many guys that you would get a little bit of props and credit for if you decide to kind of get in their face. Tyler Herro is what I think a lot of people will call a front runner. When he's playing well, he's really good. When he's got to kind of scrap and come back and just bounce back or keep the momentum going, not as good. The Celtics made a point of really making his life difficult. Tatum, I thought, was much more patient. Jaylen, whenever they were matched up with him, I thought the Celtics did a much better job of just patiently attacking him as opposed to going for the jugular right away, which is what they're looking for. I thought Joe Mazzulla did a much better job, and the Celtics players in general did a much better job of playing chess when they typically can beat the crap out of you by just being an average checkers player. Miami plays a different brand of basketball from an intellectual standpoint. The stuff that Spoelstra did in game two, some of the things that he made, some of the matchups that he was looking to create didn't materialize with just one guy matched up against the other. Sometimes he was looking for matchups that when the Celtics try to get rid of this particular matchup, this is another mismatch they're going to create. He did a lot of that in game two. And I thought Mazzulla did a much better job of playing Celtics basketball, putting his guys in position where they were dictating what was happening and that they weren't being reactive. But the big thing with Tyler Hero is that, again, he is an incredibly streaky shooter. When he has it going, he is incredibly difficult to stop. But when he's cold, I mean, he's like middle of nowhere, Siberia cold. Not very good. And this was a game where, again, game two, he had 14 assists. Tonight he had two. And he had twice as many turnovers as assists in this game. And when a player of that magnitude, at least on their roster, plays that poorly, you're going to get your ass kicked by 20 points, particularly when you're playing a team like the Celtics, who came in with a little bit more of an edge about them, which they should. This is a business trick. You know, Chris Haynes, a silent reporter for the game, he talked to Tatum, who said that they were eager to get back on the court. They were eager to get on the plane. And, you know, some people would interpret that as, oh, well, South Beach, who the hell wouldn't want to be in South Beach? But Tatum clearly came at this as, we got business to take care of. Let's deal with that. Jaylen Brown, business trip. Al Horford, Peyton Pritchard, who didn't take a single shot in game two, which I'm still scratching my head what the hell was going on there, was much more aggressive and assertive in this game. Bottom line, the Celtics just played more like the team that only three teams in Celtics history have won more games in. They looked so much better in this game.
Yeah, they're comfortable. Again, they're comfortable playing in Miami. This team's comfortable playing on the road, especially in Miami. Mm-hmm. It's to me, again, when you look at the totality of everything, and like I hate to make this about Peyton Pritchard, but I just want to make a Pritchard point very quickly. This Celtics team is better when everybody's getting involved, and it's not just funneling through one player or two specific players. But it was funny that Van Gundy gave Jaylen a little bit of flack for playing a little bit too much one-on-one when Jaylen, in the right matchups in the post, has been a pretty reliably good scorer. But when this team's moving the ball, they're attacking the paint and the ball's moving around, they're really tough to beat. And when they're spreading you out like they do with the five out that they have with Porzingis and Horford, they're just hard to guard, especially with the guys that have handle on the basketball. I mean, when you have Derek White catching it on the run to the basket, he's hard to stop. And then if you have a help defender down low, guess what? Derek White can make that read. Jason Tatum can make that read. Jaylen Brown's getting a little more comfortable making reads like that. Like if the ball is hitting the paint and spreading out, Boston will kill you for the most part, unless they just have a bad 3-point shooting night. Tonight, yeah, you saw a lot of them attacking the paint. And it's interesting to watch like someone like Porzingis try to get going from his little, you know, nail or elbow post up spot. But the 3-point shot was really what's really got him going in this game. I thought he looked a little shaky from the mid range, from the mid post, but his 3-point shot looked much more comfortable this evening. When Boston has – this is what makes Boston so hard to beat, and this is kind of what they're trying to do. They're emulating teams that have done this in basketball this year. Look at – and I'll go cross-sport here. If you look at South Carolina, right, South Carolina beat Iowa not because they had the best player on the team. Caitlin Clark, best player on the team. But the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth best players all played for South Carolina. You get UConn, right? UConn plays Purdue in the NCAA final, right? Zach Edey's the best player in the game. Didn't matter. UConn had the second, third, fourth, fifth best player. Boston is banking on – they might not have the best player every series. And this one, they sure do. Jason Tatum is the best player. The next series they play, Jason Tatum will be the best player. It's possible that at some point Jason Tatum won't be the best player. They're banking on, oh, but two, three, four, five. that's how they're going to kill you. And tonight, more of that. Look at the point distribution around the Celtics starters, right? And that's not always about the starters, but tonight certainly was. Tatum, very nice night. He's 20-plus. Jaylen Brown's 20-plus. Derek White's got 16 with a terrific third quarter. Kristaps Porzingis, he put an 18 as well. And then you have Drew Holiday, who looked a little bit more Drew-ish today. Only 3 points, but a team high.
Look at that plus-minus.
Plus 23. Mm. That's how Boston beats you. When you talk about, you've been mentioning this a lot, Celtics basketball, the 2023-2024 Boston Celtics, that's how they beat teams. Not because they have the best player. They might, and a lot of times they do. But it's not about the best player. It's about having the best five-man unit, and they usually do.
Yeah, and take it a step further, and when you look at the NBA this year, the teams at the top aren't necessarily the teams that have the number one, two, three, four, or fifth best player in the league. They're teams that go five, six, seven, eight elite talent deep. I mean, Minnesota, they've been one of the best teams in the NBA all year, and they're deep. Oklahoma City Thunder, they're ridiculously deep and young, which is kind of scary. That's how you win an NBA. And conversely, you look at a team like Phoenix. They've got three of maybe the top 10 players in the game, and they're not even going to get out of the first round. Not even out of the first damn round. And so, to me, you're right. I mean, teams are recognizing that you have to have almost like the slow drip process. You've got to just chip away a little here, a little there, a little. You don't need to overwhelm teams with the best player. When you look at the top five players and three or four of them are your team, you're probably going to win a series. And that's what this is about. This isn't about a game in the middle of February where all you need to do is just have that one good night. This is over an extended period of time. And so you're going to need depth. You're going to need to be able to wear teams out because teams that are deeper are going to go deeper in the playoffs. It's just that simple. The Lakers, they've got LeBron, they got AD, and then they got
Rui Hachimura, they got D'Angelo Russell. Well, that doesn't scare you?
Crickets. We might as well just call it the L.A. Crickets because after LeBron and AD, that's all they got is
makes more sense than L.A. Lakers. They don't have any lakes in freaking California. Come on now.
Exactly. So, I mean, they're another one of those teams that, again, very strong in terms of front-loaded talent. But when you start going down their roster, you realize – this guy is like their third or fourth best player, but he might barely be in the rotation for like a team like Boston or Minnesota or OKC. And that's how you win. That's why not having Jimmy Butler, not having Terry Rozier is such a devastating blow to them in a playoff series. Because Miami has shown that they can win without Jimmy. I mean, I think the winning percentage without him and with him is about the same.
I hear that stat. I see that stat. I'm not saying it's that.
Regular season is one thing, and I know where you're going, Evan. I know where you're
playoffs,
going.
Playoffs, it's a way different number.
Playoffs is a different story. If Jimmy elevates his play. I will own that. But overall, they're just as good with him as they are without him. Obviously, he's a different kind of player in the playoffs, and we've seen that. The Celtics have seen that. But let's not act as if the Celtics haven't played him in Miami in the playoffs and beat them. They have. Do they do it all the time? No. Does Jimmy give them a lot of stress? Hell yeah. He's a really good postseason guy. He's built like that. But right now, the Miami Heat, the best thing they've got on that sideline right now is Spoelstra. And whenever your coach is the best thing you got going, that means you're probably not going to go very far because your coach should be part of, you know, of a collection of talent, not the front and centerpiece of that. I thought the Celtics could sweep them because once Terry Rozier and Jimmy Butler were out of the picture, I'm thinking Spo was the best thing they got going. And I miscalculated that Joe would actually, I don't know, tweak things a little bit for game two. I didn't think he would roll out the same blueprint for game one as he had for game two, knowing that this playoffs is all about adjustments. And I thought Joe made some good adjustments and they got a win. Now, let's hope that Joe doesn't think that, we got the win in game three. Let's just do the same thing we did in game three and game four. That's not how this playoff thing works. You got to switch it up a little bit. You got to have the ability to anticipate what the other coach is going to do from a personnel standpoint. Like, for example, Patty Mills, end of the game. I would not be surprised if we see Patty Mills in the first quarter.
Come on now. Look at Patty Mills.
This is Evan.
Patty Mills out there, man. Patty Mills is smaller than Pritchard. He's going to get smoked.
Listen, hear me out, Evan. Hear me out.
Get out of here. Come on now.
Patty Mills is not going to win you a game, but Patty Mills can give you a good 3 minutes at his best. And if you don't prepare for him, if you're not anticipating he's going to be out there, your defense is going to be slow to react to a guy who his only job is to make shots. That's literally the only thing they need him to do. He's not going to lock anybody up defensively. He's not going to pass the rock. He's a shooter. If you don't prepare for him, he could easily have a good 90 seconds, 2 minutes where he becomes a problem. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
2 minutes, man. They're not going to be for 2 good minutes. You got to play all 48.
All you need from your role players is 2 really good minutes here, 2-3 minutes there, and it adds up over time. It has. This is my fear, Evan. This is my fear. My fear is that Joe is going to get comfortable with what they did in Game 3 and think that all we got to do is the same thing we did in Game 4. That's what I'm fearful of. If I'm a Celtics fan, that the head coach is going to think that what we did in Game 3 was great. Let's just do that again. When in fact, you've got to tweak things a little bit and anticipate your opponent what they're going to do and be able to address it appropriately. And that's where I get a little bit concerned with Mazzulla. I'm not sure he's recognizing that every game is an entity in itself, and you have to have a game plan anticipating not only what you want, not only what the opponent wants to do, but also be clear about what you need to do. And don't get too married to the idea that what you did in one game, you absolutely have to do in the next. Because sometimes, like, for example, I wouldn't be surprised if, let's say, you lean a little bit more on Derek White, or you find ways to get Porzingis going differently. Something that you did not do in Games 1, 2, or 3 that you might want to think about doing in Game 4. How does that look? Does that throw us out of our rhythm? Are we going to be a dramatically different team from a detrimental standpoint as opposed to a beneficial standpoint? Those are some of the things that I worry about with Joe, and partly because it doesn't appear to be a strength of his. I mean, I think he's a good coach, but I don't believe adjustments is when you go down the checklist of things that Joe Mazzulla is really good at. I don't think in-game adjustment ranks high. I don't. Well,
okay. I mean, look, this is a team that if people are getting on the time management thing,
that's part of in-game adjustments.
I think there's something with that. I think he's gotten better at that, and I think when it really matters, he'll be better at that. But that's, as we got that up on the screen there, that's something every once in a while I get a little wary of. If you go back to the first Denver game in Boston, there was some stretches there where Horford's on the bench and Pritchard's playing, and it was very evident that was not going to work. But again, that's the regular season. This is the playoffs, whole different animal. I one thing I'll say is I don't think Joe wants to waste all the bullets on the Miami Heat here. I'm big on the quote from JJ's podcast before the season even started. Joe talking about how they need to have a curveball for certain moments. I don't think Joe Mazzulla wants to unveil whatever he's got in the bag against the Miami Heat in round one, where Miami's just banged up and doesn't really have a shot in this thing. I think you want to save that for later on, so people don't know that you have that. Like, I know there's tape and there's a bunch of stuff on film, and whatever Boston has planned, they've probably already done it in games sparingly throughout the regular season. You go back to that Indiana game where Jrue Holiday is basically playing his own zone, just hanging out like a free safety in the middle of whatever offense Indiana's trying to run.
The basketball Ed Reed. He was Ed Reed, the basketball version of Ed Reed. Yeah.
But we haven't seen that in a while. And I do think that there are adjustments that Joe has in the back pocket where he can say, all right, for an X amount of time, we're going to do this just to see how they react to it. And I think flip side, Miami's doing a ton of that. I don't know if you've noticed, but Miami at one point, I mean, they scrapped Kevin Love in the middle of the game because just he couldn't play. The zone wasn't working. So they tried Thomas Bryant, and Thomas Bryant got absolutely smoked too. So, you know, Mazzulla doesn't have to play nearly the amount of chips that Spoelstra has to play to win a game. I think Spo knows that they're lucky to walk out of Boston tied 1-1. I think he knows that they're behind the eight ball here. And I think as we move forward, you'll see more desperation out of Spoelstra. I think you're going to see the most desperate Miami Heat team the next game. I think Game 4, Miami will do whatever it takes to win the game, including being a little extra physical, which I think is something that we haven't seen too much of yet. Although it got a little chippy tonight, I think they'll be extra physical in Game 4 because I think Spo knows they have to walk out of Miami tied 2-2, or this thing is seriously over.
Yeah, and they will be more physical because that's their style. They Miami understands who they are, and they understand that they have a very, very, very minute window to compete. Forget about winning the series, just competing in the series. They're going to have to do a lot of things exceptionally well because they're playing the best team in the NBA this year. The thing that worries me about this series is just the Celtics, frankly, not getting bored with the process. I mean, to defend at a high level, to lock in, to close out on guys who don't take a lot of shots, to do all those little things that position you to be up by 25, 30 points with a quarter to go. I worry about the Celtics committing to doing that in this series because, to your point, Evan, I've been big on promoting Joe as someone who, you know, there's some things that he's doing right now that don't make sense. But come when we get to the playoffs, it's going to make sense. It's going to make sense why he held on to that because he was looking to do this. And my concern is that you holding back by you being Joe, holding back, it might prevent this thing from getting done as quick as it could. So you might be just going with your traditional, we can roll the ball out and beat these guys in six games without me doing any real adjustments. Is it worth it going six games when you might pull something that you might want to save down the road and just throw it in there for maybe a quarter or for maybe for 5 or 6 minutes that can get you a win and get you done in five games as opposed to six? I worry a little bit about Joe just discerning between what should I use now that I've been saving for the playoffs and what should I save for a deeper round when we got a different type of team? Like if we get to the NBA finals, will I have some wrinkles I can throw in there then? And it's a thin line that he walks with that clearly. But I think at the end of the day, you want to get from each round as quickly as you can to the next one. And I think even if it costs you a little bit of your behind the scenes, black magic collateral that you've accumulated over the season that you want to roll out later on, I think it's worth it. If you can be done with these guys in five games, he's absolutely, especially when you look at the series that you are going to be playing a winner of, you know, that Cleveland-Orlando series, that thing's going seven. I mean,
I hope it's going seven just so everybody gets worn out in that series. Those two teams are wearing out the backboards. Those two teams can't really shoot at all right now.
Which is why if you're the Celtics, you want them to keep playing. You want it yours quick so that you can really start fine-tuning and maybe add some things that maybe you didn't work on as much as you would have liked because you just didn't have time. But if you've got like 3 or 4 extra days between games and the team that you're playing is wearing their asses out because they want to get on to play you, implement some new stuff. And all of a sudden we're seeing things that we had not seen all season, but they've had like 3-4 days to work on those things.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff I'm looking forward to seeing. That's why it's so important to just be done with these fools.
I am with you. Don't play with your food here, especially with this Miami team. You know, do not give this team any life. But it's just one of these things. We'll see with what Joe, you know, what he's got in his back pocket. We'll see if anything comes of that. You know, on the other side, Spoelstra is going to have something to say about this entire series. But he seems to think that this Heat team, they're not as lacking the talent department as we think. Do we have that bite fired up? That's all right. We're trying to get something moving here
we have enough to get the job done. We understand the challenge and that's what our competitors love about this series. We know we have to play hard and we also have to play well. But at that point in the second half, we were down, 20.
Can I be honest with you right now, Sherrod? That's a man who knows he's lying right there. You see his face? You see his face? That man knows he's lying to you. He knows he's lying. That guy does not look Look, when they last year, when after game six, and you looked at his face, and you looked at it was Gabe Vincent last year too. Yep. They asked them, hey, you guys gonna win? You guys gonna win this game seven in Boston, be the first team to lose up 3-0. And you looked at them and there was legit confidence there.
Yeah.
There is no confidence in sports.
No, it's almost like he's saying it to convince himself that we've got enough talent, right, Coach? Right, Coach? Right, Coach? We got enough comp. That's shocking to hear Spo speak like that. Because the thing I've always loved about him is that even when his teams didn't necessarily look to be that good, he always carried himself with an undeniable confidence that you bought. You believe that even though you knew that their team wasn't that good, damn it, he's selling it really good. I am keeping my wallet in my pocket on this one. There's no way I'm buying this. After watching the first three games, I'm even more convinced that this thing is over. Because it took Miami having the greatest three-point shooting game in their franchise's history to beat Boston in Boston. And if we're being honest and candid about it, the Celtics needed basically 3 good minutes of basketball in order to win that game. If they would have had a three-minute stretch of typical Celtics basketball, they would have won that game. And Miami would have still made all those damn threes, and they would have lost.
Right.
They would have lost. And so
if Porzingis doesn't go 1 for 9 from the field, and Boston doesn't have dumb – and Boston had a lot of dumb turnovers in game two.
Right.
A lot of just brain fart, not thinking turnovers. That's the other thing about this game that we haven't really touched on was the turnovers by Miami. And some of them forced by Boston. Some of them dumb turnovers, which you don't normally see at all with that team. So that's the other thing. Again, like Miami's normally a mentally tough team, plays physical too, and doesn't beat themselves. Miami beat themselves tonight. And Boston also took it to them too. But Miami wasn't doing themselves any favors. It's just, again, you come back to the talent drain. The talent drain is very obvious. Again, I didn't think it was going to be one of these things where, you know, Boston swept them. I thought it was possible. But I'm just going to tell you right now, this series, again, if Boston wins on Monday night, which I think they're going to, considering their comfortability playing in Miami, this thing is absolutely done.
There's absolutely no way I can see Boston winning on Monday and not finishing off in 5 games back home. Miami's in a tough spot because it feeds into the Miami culture / narrative of being scrappy. No one believes in us, and we find a way to compete and all that. But at some point, you're going to look in the mirror, and then you're going to realize they're better than us. They're stronger than us. They're deeper than us. They have more talent. They have home court advantage. We're just basically biding time to our demise. At some point, you're going to realize that. And I have this weird feeling that Eric Spoelstra isn't quite there yet, but he's on that road, trying to say, we've got enough to win this, Coach. That might be the most uninspiring pep talk that you've given the media ever. No one is buying.
He looked tired. He looked exhausted. He looked like someone who's been trying to figure out all the ways he can scheme something, and he just looks like he's done. He doesn't look like
that mad scientist that's in the lab, and they've got the crazy ass hair, and they got all the scribbling on the wall, and then they just at one point they realize, I am no closer to finding an answer than I was 17 hours ago.
I'm screwed.
So,
to be frank, like Boston has some room to get better here. We haven't even really touched. Boston didn't shoot the ball well from three. They were 11 of 37.
Less than 30%.
On the next down, Jalen 0 for 4. Derek White 2 for 7. Tatum 2 for 7. Porzingis is the only guy that had a decent night from 3-point range. Tatum missed 4 free throws, which is insane. Jalen's got to practice free throws. He's starting to really. He can hit them in spurts, but he also misses them in spurts, and unfortunately. He's missing a lot right now. Boston didn't shoot the ball outrageously well. 48% from the field, 30% from three, 72% from the line. But Boston's a 50, 40, 80 team. Like that's what they do. That's what they average. Like that's why they had the best offense in the league, is they shoot the hell out of it.
The scary part about this team, though, Evan, is that even though they didn't shoot the ball well and they didn't shoot it from the free throw line, they won by 20. And honestly, they could have easily won by like 25 or 30 if they really, really wanted to. And that to me, that's the problem that Miami has. You played a Celtics team that did not give a level. This was more like a B minus C plus Celtics performance, and they beat you by 20. And that's a problem. That is a major problem for you. You need them to basically beat themselves. I said this from the beginning of the playoffs, that the biggest opponent the Celtics are going to have is the Celtics. When they lose, there are going to be very specific things that they've done that were major contributors to their defeat. And you go back to game two, Porzingis, 1-for-9. If you had mentioned the turnovers and you mentioned Porzingis' lack of scoring in game two, if either one of those things wasn't a factor, the Celtics would win. If Porzingis had a typical game, that would have been another 12, 14 points, probably would have been 4 or 6 points off of Miami's ledger. And next thing you know, Celtics would have probably won that game by like 7 or 8. It would have been a close game, but they would have won. And that's the problem that you have if you're the Miami Heat. No matter how well you play, you're going to need the Celtics to have an atypical game that has very little to do with you and everything to do with them not doing what they traditionally do or what they've done traditionally this season. And you can't expect that to happen 4 times, because that's what you're going to need to win the series. You're going to need them to have basically 4 game twos. That's what you're going to need in Miami. And that's just not going to happen. Yeah, you got the one. You may get one more, but you're not going to get 4.
And the one thing that we talked about all season, at least I did on my podcast, Celtics Beat, by the way.
Well done. Well played. I was waiting for it.
Little quick plug. Here's the thing. Kristaps Porzingis partially was brought in to be a zone buster against Miami, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not shocking to either of us, right, that Boston lost game two because Kristaps had a bad game. And he talked about that particular bad game with our very own Bobby Manning in the locker room after the game today.
To that last game, obviously, it was probably one of your, you know, worst games with the Celtics so far. To bounce back the way you did, just what did you feel over the last couple of days, and how did that kind of set you up for tonight?
Oh, man, it was a long 2 days, you know, just to the way it burns inside, you know, after a game like that, after a loss like that, and me not having, probably having my worst game as a Celtic, you know, it really burned inside. I'm not going to lie. So I was long 2 days until I get another opportunity and I made some adjustments and didn't fall too much into their game of, you know, this just physical, like all the time. And that's what they want me to do. So a little bit different. And completely different game today.
And burn, baby, burn.
I've been talking about this with a lot of people, and this is the one thing I'm really curious about, is the way Kristaps responds in games that really matter. Because Kristaps played a lot of games that haven't mattered at all.
Right.
And I like to see, like, and again, he's saying this after a game where Boston just absolutely wiped the floor with Miami. So it's easy to say this after a type of game like that. But I do like the fact that he's got just this other personality that we kind of haven't seen yet, because Boston's been rolling teams and Porzingis has been kind of, like, you know, nurtured a little bit, and all for good reason. You know, he's been nurtured. He's been, you know, gotta make sure he makes the playoffs. And now that he's here and he had a really terrible game in game two, I wanted to see specifically how he would respond. And then the stuff, just him saying that after the game, that is the attitude I'm looking for from Porzingis. I want to see a killer out there. I want to see a guy who takes this seriously. I had a bad game two, not happening game three. That's the stuff with Jason Tatum that I was really curious tonight, right? He had a great first half in game two, and he kind of disappeared in the second half, right? Came out today, settled in quite nicely, and then, you know, by the time stuff really mattered, game was over, and Tatum was just taking really hard shots and trying to see if he could make them. So it's just a good, you know, when you have the leaders in this team like Boston does, between Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis, good to see them bounce back and hold themselves accountable, right? You don't need Joe Mazzulla. Like, this isn't the Ime teams where Ime's got to hold everybody accountable during every single press conference and run everybody over with the bus, right? This is a team that's now grown up a little bit and holding themselves accountable. And I like to see that. I don't know about you, Sharad. That's big for me.
No, the thing about Porzingis that I really liked about that soundbite was just him talking about it burning. that it burned him up. And I think sometimes when you look at these Celtics teams and you look at the Tatums and the Brown, these guys go to the conference finals or deep into the playoffs damn near every year. And there's almost like there's a numbness to defeats in the playoffs for them that, yeah, we lost the game, but, you know, we've got another game. We'll be fine. I don't like that. When you lose in a play, I want you to feel hurt. I want you to feel like the world is coming to an end unless I get my ass back out there and play better the next time I get an opportunity. I don't want to take for granted every game that I lose and think, well, you know, I'll just go out there and get another one. Porzingis was clearly hurt by how shitty he played in game two. And that clearly motivated him to play better in game three. And that's what you want. It's not about the setback. It's the comeback that you want to see. That's going to determine how far you go as an organization, as a franchise, and as a team deep into the playoffs, because everyone is going to have a bad game at some point. But can you bounce back? Can you recover in a timely fashion so that that pain that you felt and that loss, you repurpose that greater focus, greater performance, and you get a win? He had 18 points and only took 9 shots. It was like 5 for 9. It was very efficient shooting night for him, and this came on a night where he got in a foul trouble. I think he would have went for 25 or 30 if he didn't pick up the 2 quick fouls in the first quarter. So to me, this is the Porzingis I wanted to see. Not so much the numbers and the stats, but the way he felt after a crappy game and the way he responded. Look at Miami Vice, aka Joe Sway. Yeah,
look at Joe Sway going Miami White. What team are you playing for, Joe?
Evan, it's even like bulky and baggy. Damn. Cribs.
Yo, you and Gary, man. This must have been like this. That must have been the thing. That's what it is. You guys used to watch Miami Vice. You got reminded.
Joe's boy, don't act like you like 22 years old, dude.
That's not what I meant.
That was before my time. Out of here.
Nah, I like it. I like it. I'll take it. I mean, it's Miami Vice vibes for sure. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, all I'm missing is just walk around like this, you know, with the sleeves up.
You gotta show little cuff, little sleeve on the inside.
I respect that, Joe Sway.
I gotta mix it up for the playoffs, man. I thought this was a big game for the Celtics, and they responded in a big way, man. Got off to a quick start, something that I anticipated, but the way they sort of just took the hearts out of Miami, I didn't anticipate that. I mean, not to say that I couldn't see the Celtics winning this in a blowout fashion, but I just thought when they were so connected the way they were in that first half, especially in the second quarter, I mean, that 40 point quarter, I just think really set the tone that they weren't going to back down. And that was the approach throughout the entire second half. You know, I asked Jalen about Kristaps and the start and how he already outscored his game two performance in the first 5 minutes of this one. And he said that, look, he wasn't trying to get fouls. He wasn't trying to, you know, manipulate the officials. He was just balling. He just played. He just focused and he was locked in from the start. And that's essentially what it took. You know, I thought Bam Adebayo was tough. He tried to be physical with him. I mean, they're all like that, but especially in this game, you know,
lost your audio.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi is getting bad out here. Okay, there it goes. Better. But yeah, I just think it was a great response out of Kristaps, especially someone who doesn't have a whole lot of experience in the playoffs. I thought that's how you respond, especially on the road.
Yeah. We just chatted about that. And when you look at a guy like Porzingis who hasn't played in a lot of big games, it was one of the things you know a little nervous about it as you went through the season. Like, yeah, they're gonna need Porzingis to win the title. They're going to need him to beat who. I mean, look, they have a nice road to a potential NBA Finals appearance, right? But if they get to the NBA Finals, they are absolutely going to need every single minute of Porzingis against whatever the heck comes out of that unbelievable West bracket, as some people in the comment section have alluded to. It's a gauntlet over there in the West. But, you know, Porzingis taking a game that he didn't play well to heart, coming out next one. Five. Again, that, you know, Porzingis had the first couple of points in the game. He looked sharp right from the. And I wonder, boys, if that was on purpose. I wonder if Joe was thinking, hey, you know, Porzingis 1-for-9, stinker game. We got to make sure he gets comfortable tonight. Let's drop a couple plays for KP to start this game out, get him loose, get him moving, get him in the flow of the game. I wonder if that was something they thought about, because it's, you know, if you're trying to get a guy comfortable, especially on the road, not a bad idea.
I got to believe it was something that they certainly kicked around the idea and just kind of basically played the, you know, read the defense and then and just react to that. And I thought they did that. I mean, Tatum and Brown, I thought early on, were just seeing if they could – probing, seeing what they could do, and forcing the defense to react to them, putting Porzingis in a chance where he could get going early. I thought they did a good job of that. And I do think, Evan, it was a conscious effort on the part of Tatum and Brown specifically to try to get Porzingis going, because they know that once he gets rolling, they're going to get opportunities to get rolling. And that's the beauty about this Celtics offense, is no matter where the starting point is, everyone is going to eat good once somebody starts eating. So everyone is going to feast. Nikola Jovic, he had a good game too. But they were not trying to let him, you know, act as if he was like, you know, defensive player of the year and shut him down again. They made a point of the Celtics made a really good point of going at some of the areas where I thought Miami overachieved in game two. And having a little bit welcome back to this place we like to call Earth moments with them. Jovic, he had decent numbers, but he wasn't as good. And Tyler Hero had freaking 14 assists in game two. That should never happen. Maybe in a video game. I don't even know if you can get him 14 assists in a video game.
Let alone not even in 2K. That's hard, dude. You're right.
Yeah. But this was more real. Two assists, more turnovers. Yeah.
Well, they came. I mean, obviously, like you just said, man, the reality kicked in, and it was immediate for the Miami Heat. I mean, what were they, like 18% from three, way under 30%, you know, to start. I think the Celtics knew that was going to happen, but for them to pounce defensively the way they did in that first quarter, I thought was super important to come out and set the tone. Jrue Holiday was part of that as well. I feel like, I know he didn't have a great offensive performance here, but I felt like he did. He was really tough on defense to start, especially. And, you know, I just thought what shocked me most about game two, or one of the many things I should say, was that Kristaps, not only was his offense out of the picture, but essentially just the getting involved. You know, I just thought Porzingis has to be involved no matter what. Okay, if he's not scoring a whole lot, if he's ice cold, that's fine. But get him in the mix, you know, get him his touches. And I thought the stuff that's adjusted and freeing him up a bit, you know, whereas in game two, the Miami Heat, it was like 1-5 off the switches, you know, just, you know, help defense, disrupting him whenever you want to get the ball in the spot, you know, kicking him out of his comfort zone. You know, there was a lot of that. And I felt like Porzingis fought back in a big way in this game. And it never stopped, you know, especially in that second half. I thought Bam Adebayo got away with a couple pushes there. I don't know if that was on TV or not, but look, man, like these little, like, off the screens and everything.
Bam get away with stuff all the time. He's been doing it. I have never seen a player who commits as many illegal screens as Bam out of freaking bio.
I got one for you, Kevin Garnett.
Bam is worse.
He's worse. Yeah, I was going to say.
Bam is worse.
KG used to lean a little bit. Bam is just pushing, leaning, everything, all of the above.
Come on now. You guys are both lying. You know KG was a master at it. He just never get called for it.
In Minnesota, Evan, we're not talking about that.
You will not get an argument. Kevin was the blueprint. Bam is the 2.0 version. The newer version is better. Said
Draymond Green. Draymond Green is also accurate. Draymond is also.
Yeah, Draymond is a good comp right there.
Here's the thing: Draymond gets popped for it at least once or twice a game. Bam never gets popped for it. Kevin usually gets popped for it like maybe once, just to say that you called it. Bam never gets called for that. And I've gone back. I've recorded games just to see if what I thought I saw in real time actually happened. And he's sliding his ass back all the time on those dribble, those handoffs. He's always moving. Yeah.
But what drives me crazy about it in this series, Sherrod, is like Kristaps is like, I don't want it to, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not the kind of guy that's gonna, well, it's a good thing that he doesn't get frustrated, right? But two, like, he's not the kind of guy that's gonna be like, hey, you know, Fish, can you please watch this? I mean, he's done it, but he's super polite. You know, he doesn't really get in his feelings much. So I think it's something that the refs just have to start picking up on it, honestly. But I wonder if it happens here in game four. I really would be surprised. But I mean, you gotta give props to Kristaps for never getting out of the game mentally. You know, I mean, a double digit lead helps in that. But he never takes that stuff personally. You know, I think he's been in the league long enough. But Bam's gotta stop getting away with this stuff, man. I thought that he did a lot of that in the second half. I know you're right, Sherrod. You know, but
he's never going to get caught for that. I'm telling you, it's never going to be an issue for him. Never.
What's good is this team, you know, after a pretty rough game too, right? They come out firing right from the jump. They get up, 27-12 in the first quarter, give themselves a nice cushion, give themselves, you know, at least a chance to, you know, as they did wire to wire, lead this thing, but gave them the chance to really just kind of, you know, not play with their food, keep Miami at bay and say, you know, whatever. What I like about it is the attitude they came out with, and Kristaps Porzingis talked about after the game, whether the game two loss was really exactly what this team needed to jumpstart them for game three. At least it was there. We'll have it in 2 seconds, I promise. But again, it is one of these things where
a bit of a wake-up call and, you know, the intensity and physicality that you guys have to bring every game.
I don't think it was that much like our lack of physicality or something like this. I think, again, it's the same thing. Kind of we fell in a little bit. At least, of course, I'm talking more from my perspective, how I felt game two and then game three as individually. I fell into their, like, this wrestling match, you know, with them. And at the end, like, this is how we play. It's much harder for us, for them to stop us if we play this way. A bit more movement, a bit more freedom. And I think if we, you know, match all the rest of the things, we'll be fine.
Yeah, KP's not about that WWE life.
Nah, but he ain't built for that though. I mean, yeah. I'll say this though: being Eastern European, those guys are not soft guys. I'll just tell you that right now. They're not soft dudes. But he's not about, you know, that's what Tyler Hero's for. You know, start stuff. Tyler Hero's about that life for sure. Back when they had James Johnson back on that team, that's when that they were about that life.
Now, that's one dude that you stand straight upright.
Yes, sir.
We don't want no trouble.
They never brought reinforcements, man. Like they committed to the core of this team, which is not a bad thing. But you gotta add parts around these guys, and I feel like the Miami Heat just didn't do that. But yeah, you're right, Sherrod. That dude. Yeah, he's not the one to mess with, for sure.
Bobby got the hat tilted a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I told him to do that. I told him, right, Bobby? Tell him. I told you.
Yeah.
Does the bucket hat go to the club with you, Bobby, or no?
What's that?
Does the bucket hat go to the club with you, or no? Does the bucket hat come off when you go to the club?
No comment.
Both teams play hard. Make Miss League.
Wow. That was great tonight. I love that. I wanted to see that 20-point defensive win where you didn't play offense great, especially early, but you grinded it out, found some opportunities to get out on the run off your defense. And I felt like just bury Miami's offense. And they had a few stretches where they got some stuff going, but overall, you just had them completely demoralized on that end for much of this game. I mean, a 12-point opening quarter, all the turnovers. It was great stuff. And then you flatten out their three-point shooting to where they can't even get 33s off after a game where they almost shoot 50. It was good stuff. And part of me was worried, Evan, coming out of the last game, that after the three-point loss that they suffered there, that they would just be bombs away in this one, trying to get the advantage in that area again. But instead, they recommitted to defense. I felt like a lot of that stemmed from the players. I know Joe was talking a lot about getting back to offensive execution, which they did inconsistently in this one. But this one's about defense. And I keep saying it, this should be a defensive team. Mm-hmm. If they play to their potential in defense every night, they can grind out any win, even the ones where they don't shoot well or play consistent offense. And they still got to work on some things on that end, certainly to perform better later in the playoffs. But against this team, if you want to win this series 4-1, all you really have to do is just scrap out the two more defensive victories after this one, and then, you know, get back to your offense, and you'll shoot great some nights like you did in game one, and you'll have those nights where your offense is awesome. But in the playoffs, it's just not always going to be pretty. And it wasn't again tonight, but it's a totally different result on that end of the floor. And I just loved it.
And just to kind of piggyback off what Bobby's saying, when you become a defensive, grinded out kind of team and your opponent's studying you, they're not going to see anything that is going to reveal this mastermind plan. That's your identity. You play hard. You're grimy. You're gritty. You're physical. And there's nothing you can do about that other than try to match that. So so the whole like trying to come up with schemes and diagrams and ways to attack teams that are gritty and grimy, it's not going to work. Because that's a transferable skill that no matter what you're trying to do to combat that, if you're doing that at an elite level, which the Celtics have the personnel to do that, there's nothing that Miami can do to stop that. There's nothing that Miami can do that can prevent Jaylen Brown from contesting shots. If he's really fighting instead of just going under the screens, actually trying to go over the top. There's nothing you can do when the Celtics put their minds to being an offensive rebounding team. I mean, they had, I think, 6 offensive rebounds in the first quarter or first half, and they only had 6, I think, in their last game total. Those are the kind of things that when you make up your mind to be physical, to be grimy, to make it about your defense, you can have a game like this where you shoot less than 30% on threes and less than 50% from the field, and you win by 20 easily on the road.
Yeah. 4 in the first quarter, 8 in the first half. That was missing in the Boston games. And it's been a big part of their team this year. The White one was great. He had 2 right in that third quarter. And then Porzingis at one point gets one to go. And they're all emphasizing that part of the game, which, again, on a night where you're shooting, 29% from 3 or whatever they finished, that's their great equalizer offensively is the offensive rebounding. They have so many guys that can do it. White with 3, Brown with 2. And they finish with 10. So I love seeing that part of their game come back too. I mean, you shoot 30% from 3 effectively, but you get those 10 offensive rebounds. You get all those points in transition and off of forcing turnovers. And even though the Heat only committed 12, it felt like a devastating 12. There were a lot of points off turnovers in this one for the Celtics. So that's who I think they should be. It's not always, they have a bunch of different ways that they can win. But this to me feels like they're most reliable of all the different ways that they can do it. And, you're going to be in some series like this. Next round could be like that, whether you see the Cavs or the Magic, both more rugged defensive teams that are going to do some similar stuff to muck up the game. So it's just not always going to go your way on offense. And I know Joe keeps preaching that side, and they want to get to their spacing and do all that stuff, but it's not always going to happen. And you can't just falter defensively like they did last game when that happens.
Yeah, and they have the personnel to be excellent on defense. I mean, their net rating in the regular season is historic, halfly because they had the second-best defensive team in the league this year. They have elite defensive personnel, 1 through 6 or 5.5, if you want to count Porzingis as like a good rim protector, but not great in space. I'll give you that. But, I mean, you have 2 all-defensive guards. You have one guy literally – Jrue Holiday, who's on the Team USA team to be an awesome defender. That's literally his main job. Jalen has done a tremendous job at taking the assignment of the team's best player. Jason Tatum does that most of the other time. Oh, yeah, and then there's just Derek White, who's maybe the best defender of all of them. I don't know. He's maybe the best rim protector on the team. They have the ability. They have the talent. And that's to Bobby's point, that's what was so frustrating about game 2. It's like there's no reason why Boston should be getting smoked on the perimeter when 4 of the 5 guys on the floor are Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Jrue Holiday, and Derek White. There's no reason. You have 2 of the best screen navigators in the game on your team, and the 2 other guys are long as hell. So it shouldn't be that happens a lot. I think Boston was like, there's no way they're going to shoot this way through the entire game. Miami just happened to do that. It was a little perplexing. I think we've talked about this a little bit in terms of Joe's lack of adjustment in that game, but you knew that wasn't going to happen in this game. You knew Miami was not going to shoot, the lights out in this one. And Boston, as Bobby alluded to, did a tremendous job creating extra opportunities for themselves, whether it was turnovers or offensive rebounds. And if you're going to shoot poorly from the field, if you get a bunch of offensive rebounds, you turn the ball over, you're going to win. You're just going to win. Especially when you just have the talent that Miami has. They just don't have the horses.
There's no way. Right. Yeah. That's right on. Evan. I just also think that when you look at this Heat team and you see them missing out on Jimmy Butler, but you know, Terry Rozier, I mean, just offensive guys that they really need in order to consistently put up big points. You know, they hit over 110 points. Well, you know, they had need a lot of those three-pointers to fall in order to get there, right? And the Celtics to go out, come out here and limit to almost 80 points, you know, I think that speaks volumes as to where this team or what they, who they could be, rather, when everyone is so committed to defense. And I think from the start, 1 through 5, you saw that. You saw also Joe Mazzulla go deeper into his bench in that first half because I felt like sort of like, okay, let's keep this going. You know, let's continue to hold these guys, you know, limit them. To, what was it, 36 first half points, 12 points in the first quarter. I mean, like, that's devastating stuff, you know? You know, I just think that as the game wears on, you know, it's really hard for a team like the Miami Heat, again, shorthanded, three shots not falling, you know, to hold their own against a team like the Celtics, where you just have guys 1 through 5 that are just putting, when they put, you know, the right effort on both ends, it's just, this is the result, you know, in my opinion. 20-point win that we saw, you know, similar to game one, but in a different way. And I think that's the part Joe Mazzulla is constantly preaching. You know, it's not always going to look the same, but this team's talented enough to go out there and do it in a different way and still beat the Heat by 20. You know, that's exactly what happened here in game three.
I want to shout out to Brian Stevens in the comment section. Your 40-point second quarter was everything. That's true. When you, again, you, Bobby talks about the defense, and yes, defensively, they need to be a better team, but offensively, they can just put up a ton of points, and there's absolutely no shot that Miami can keep up with Boston if they're shooting the lights out. You know, it was over. It was over at halftime, frankly, and I was thrilled about it, to be honest with you. I don't like sweating these out anymore. I don't have enough tequila to just sweat these out anymore.
Sherrod's looking.
Yeah, I am, and I do, Evan. I do have enough, but I'd rather save that for end of the season, which hopefully will not be coming to an end anytime soon.
Right. We got 2 months to go.
But yeah, I got a nice little stash. Okay.
Good to know. What do you got there? Out of curiosity.
Bacardi Spice Rum. Well, actually, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say.
Say less, Rob. I'm coming through. Say
less. No free advertising.
As a professor, I think it wouldn't be right for me to get into my
this is a watching.
But I'm good though. I can just say I'm good.
I hear that. No, I hear that. I may or may not have purchased a fresh bottle today. That's all I'm gonna say.
Woo!
You gotta be ready for that stuff.
You just never know. Well, Jimmy brings the hard hats. We like to bring hard liquor. There we go. Here we go.
No, I do love that. I do love that. That's amazing. I do believe, boys, we do have a little bit of literature to read at this point in this particular
story
episode.
Story time.
Yeah, I do want to take a little time here to tell you today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks, the official daily fantasy sponsor of CLNS Media. March is over, folks. We know that. But we still have tons of things coming up on the sports calendar for everyone to take advantage of, right? We have baseball going on. I know the Red Sox aren't great, but they won big today. That's fantastic. The NFL is now officially done. NHL playoffs are here. NBA playoffs are here. So many things that you can put some money on, and you can win a lot in just as little as 4 correct picks, right? You win 100 times your money with that on America's number one fantasy sports app. That is Prize Picks. You can play along some cool people too, like Meek Mill. If I beat Meek Mill, I would have bragging rights forever. You can just go to the community plays under the promos tab of the app to view all the entries of some of the biggest names in Prize Picks community every single week. Like Stephen A. Smith's involved with this thing. How can you not love Stephen A. at this point? That's Prize Picks, the daily fantasy sponsor of CLNS. Make sure you download the app today. Use the promo code CLNS. And you get a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use the promo code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $200. But coming off a spectacular win, Celtics now up 2 games to 1, 104, 84. Boys, have we talked enough about game three? Can we move on to game four and what we're expecting?
Oh, yeah. That's the big one.
What do you got for me?
What you got, Bobby?
Well, I think Joe Sway and I agreed, you know, talking before the game that they were going to come out and win this one and win it convincingly. You had to after what happened in game two. Now you wonder what that adjustment clapback's going to be like from the Heat at home. And it was a pretty good atmosphere in here tonight. Usually it is after halftime, but fans were here pretty early. It was pretty rowdy as the Heat went on some of their runs in that first half. The Celtics responded well. And so are you going to look at a team that's relaxing, up again in the series, doesn't need to play with this level of urgency, and is on the road? And if they lose, whatever, you're going home 2-2. Or are you going to decisively try to put away this series, which I think you need to do? And you look back to that first-round series last year. You went one game too many with the Hawks. That was probably a five-game series that went six. And it's just that extra wear and tear, minutes, travel, especially going all the way down to Miami, a longer flight, that you don't want to add to the front end of this playoff push. So Monday's crucial because you're going to get a better version of the Heat. DeLon Wright will come back, and they did miss him tonight, I'd assume, right? I don't know when he's going to come back, but maybe come back for that game. They missed him for that one. I'm sure they're going to have some adjustments that they go to. I'm sure they're going to get a ton of threes up again after they weren't able tonight. And do the Celtics let that happen again, or do they start this game decisively? Tatum, who I feel like hasn't had many quotes that have wowed me, at least in recent months, said something interesting after the game about, yeah, we're going to be the more talented team, but the test for us is going to be, can we beat the tougher, harder playing team? Can we be the team that punches first and doesn't react? That's the test for us. And I said something similar to that after last game. Like, if you don't do all the things that the Heat do, the physicality, the attention to detail, the effort, all that stuff, that can bridge the gap with your talent if you don't do it at all. And then if you do it at a higher level like the Celtics did tonight, I don't know where the Heat's effort was for much of this game. You're going to be winning 20 by 20, 30 in this series again here. So you just have to show up in those areas. It's still shocking that they didn't in game two. Maybe that's just an anomaly in this series, but you can't do it again Monday, even though you're up in the series again. That's such a critical game because if you go home up 3-1, I know the Heat never quit and they're just going to keep playing, but that could be one of those, Rozier's not coming back, Butler's not coming back, might be time for summer. So Monday's crucial.
I would agree with that.
1-2-3 Cancun.
Yeah, that would be preferable. A 1-2-3 Cancun game for game five would be absolutely incredible. That way, right, you know, you can get, you know, Miami on there. You can start their vacation a little earlier than normal. I would enjoy. I'll be honest with you, boys. I will take a little extra. Like, I will enjoy if they win game four and get this done in five, I will enjoy sending Miami home a little more than I would the normal team, considering the bad blood between these teams the last couple of years. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the Celtics, the politically correct answer is just getting past the first round is a great thing to do. But no, it means more when it's Miami. I mean, this team has had your number. They talk more smack than pretty much any team that you face in the regular season, postseason. And it just feels better to kick their ass if we're being honest about it. They're like they're the only kid on the block that you tend to see, you know, who's in position to take that next step. Milwaukee's kind of been up and down with Giannis. You know, when he's healthy, they're really good. When he's not, they're not that good. It means more, I think, to the Celtics to put away Miami because this team has robbed you of at least one and maybe even two trips getting to the NBA Finals. There's a part of you, the Celtics, that has to believe that you may have won an NBA title if it wasn't for the Miami Heat, an additional title. And you don't want to let this opportunity slip away because this is the best team that you've had in a regular season. Not only did you dominate the league, you dominated Miami. Miami is still, you know, they didn't win a single game against you in the regular season. So, yeah, it does mean a little bit more to put that ass away. To put them away. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah,
especially in the first round, man. That's the part that would be satisfying for sure. I mean, look, the Celtics almost made history last year. You know, if Jason Tatum doesn't go down, you can do all the ifs and that and all if you want. But if you're the Celtics, it's like, man, we beat these guys three times in a row in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, and here we are again. Me and these guys, they're standing in our way. And, yeah, absolutely, Sherrod, they should feel that way. Like you just said, I mean, they stopped you from going back to the finals. They stopped you from that experience once more that maybe puts you over the hump or maybe getting back there last year positions you to get back there this year even better. I mean, you, again, the what-ifs can go on and on. But either way, Miami Heat were that team that stood in your way. And the rivalry and, you know, doing it the way you can do it now without Jimmy Butler, whatever. Like, if I'm the Celtics, you have to embrace all of that. And especially with Chris Stapps and Drew in the picture now, like, there's such a better team all around, if you ask me, compared to last year. And that's why, you know, you asked Jalen about last year's team. He's like, yo, we're on to this year. Like, that's so far in the past and in their mind. And I just feel like prolonging this series longer than you should will only frustrate these guys even more. You know, it's like, just get it done as soon as possible, one game at a time. And if you're the Miami Heat going into game four, I mean, look, if the Celtics beat you again and you have to go back to Boston and, you know, you start thinking about what the summer's going to be like, you start making plans, like that stuff happens naturally. And I just think the Celtics would really, really be a gut punch if they could go out here and beat them one more time, you know, go back to Boston, 3-1 lead. There's a really good chance they close that out in Boston, if you ask me. Against this Heat team, yeah, man, like that could really, that could be it. That could be what really pushes the Heat to just not, put it this way, that could push them to the point of going back to Boston and saying, look, if we get out to another, if we're on the wrong end of a huge quick start, like we saw in the other night, like that, I just don't think this team would have enough to fight back and in that game to force a game six to come back here in Miami. So, yeah, I think Sunday night's game or Monday rather could mentally, it could really be the one of those big knockout blows for the Celtics.
Miami, much like Stan Van Gundy's hairline, is not coming back. And I want to take a quick break to tell you that this show is brought to you in part by Nutrafol. Hair thinning, speaking of hair thinning, is complicated. The problem is actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, it has a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. And Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. And Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I don't have that problem. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think I'm going to be all right. Take the hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com for personalized hair health based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code GARDEN. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code GARDEN. That's Nutrafol.com. Promo code GARDEN. I'm much in agreement with you boys. I just think at this point, you look at Miami, you look at Boston, you look at the way this thing is shaken out, this is going to be hopefully, again, as I think most people on the show have referred to as, this is a business trip, folks. The business trip for the Celtics. Maybe not for Josue, maybe not for Bobby, but for the Celtics, this is a business trip. You boys are smiling. You know you're getting after it tonight. You know you're getting after it.
You guys just think we have no discipline. We're working hard.
For real.
We're
3 years in a row, right, Bob?
All of our work. We're used to this. We've been through it.
We can contain ourselves.
This isn't our first time down here.
Yeah, but it is the last time you'll be here. It is part of the NBA season for, at least until October, forever. November. I haven't seen the schedule yet, so maybe it's not there. But I will say.
Evan, on that note. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to come back here for game six, man. I'll be honest. I just don't think this is that serious that should warrant a six game. But let's see.
Yeah. Either anybody gonna play any golf while you're down there? Out of curiosity, Bobby.
I'd love to. I don't know if I'm gonna get a chance. I'm definitely gonna try to hit the baseball game tomorrow. They're playing at one. It's Nationals Marlins. So I don't know how long I'm gonna stick around for that. But yeah. I do want to check it out, and maybe in the afternoon after I'll find a course. But I don't really know the courses down here. I know Orlando better.
Yeah.
But if anyone's got any recs, let me know in the chat.
Yeah. Anybody down in Miami that's a big golfer, you know,
make sure you want to go to Orlando. Yeah.
Where the spots are. But I do want to take one more quick moment. Today's show is brought to you by PXG Golfers. You know, PXG is on a mission to create the most high quality, high performance golf clubs in the game. And they're bringing that same passion for excellence to a new line of apparel. And I got to say, folks, they absolutely nailed it. My stuff's on the way. I'm super thrilled. I love golf. I'm getting better at golf. I want to link up with Bobby at some point. Hit the links, give it a shot. But these new golf items, this golf apparel stuff, it's made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance. And these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from the course to the office or out of the town. Look at Victor Hovland. Hovland always looks immaculate whenever he's walking out on the golf course. Every time he's got a polo on, I'm just jealous, and I want to up my game, up your game today with PXG, because they got stuff for everybody. Pants, polos, sweaters, hats, quarter zips, joggers, and much, much more. Elevate your style game on and off the golf course with PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/gardenreport. Use the code GardenReport to check out and save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/gardenreport. Code GardenReport to save 10% on apparel. But seriously, boys, none of you are getting anything weird tonight. I would have a good time with that. I'm going to be honest with you. I would have a good time with that. And speaking of having a good time, John Zanis is having a good time.
We have to tell the whole world.
Jesus.
What sport are we doing here?
It's called doing work as a host, John. You should try it sometime.
What sport are we doing here? I did at least 4.5 hours of draft coverage today. I didn't like it.
Let me toss you a log right away, John.
The reason Evan doesn't do more shows, by the way, is because you'd be clamoring for him to be the full-time host. So I have to limit his appearances.
Yeah, it's a pinch hit, folks. I just want to say, Zanis, you must be exhausted, my man.
We're good. Fill us in. What happened tonight? I don't want to interrupt the conversation. I just wanted to say hi and hang out for a little bit.
We're currently at the point where, Boston won by 20. It's a tremendous game. All I'm saying is they came a little more focused, and we've gone through everything to the point where I just want to know where Joe Sway and Bobby are hanging out tonight, because Joe Sway looks like he's ready for the yacht, and Bobby's is Gilligan over here with the bucket.
Rocket and Tubbs, baby. We got there we go.
I'm Miami Vice a little bit.
Gary calls us Romeo and Bullethead, if anyone gets that reference.
Romeo and Bullethead
So they did good tonight. Is that what I'm going to understand?
You got me on that.
They did good.
I don't know if they totally absolved themselves, John, but they leaned into defense, and I'm glad they went in that direction. The offense wasn't great tonight. They shot pretty poorly. They started slow.
I
want to
know about each three of Luke Kornet's minutes. I want to know about those.
Well, we won the game.
That's the first Luke reference. You.
Oh, he got to five. I wasn't gonna go there. When I last checked the box score, he was at three. And Bobby,
they did some garbage time at the end.
You know, Bobby was ready for a massive victory lap. Right?
Why weren't you gonna go there?
Hey, he didn't do anything, but he did get in the game. So they wanted to see what it looked like. They wanted to try it, and they saw pretty quickly that that was in the move tonight. So fair enough. Right. But he's in the rotation, even if it's just 3 minutes.
And the game's won by 20. Yep.
You guys did it, not me.
I figured someone had to.
If a real quick synopsis, even though they shot the ball terribly, they played much better defense, John. I think you'd be a little bit more pleased at the adjustments the team collectively made guarding the perimeter. And even though they shot the ball terribly, they got a lot of offensive rebounds. Forced Miami into a lot of dumb turnovers, and the game was over after half.
So that's my question. Was it limiting the shots? Because I saw Miami had only 28 threes. Obviously, they shot them poorly to begin with. Was that because Boston defended the perimeter better? Or was that because Miami was like, we're not going to be able to do it two times in a row. Let's go back to a different strategy and try to attack the paint. Like, did Boston run them off the line? Were they better on the switches? Were they pressuring the ball more? Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, they turned up the heat. Big time. Yeah. They even got into a full court press in that first
because there was
half.
So much space last game, right? I mean, yeah. It wasn't just on the threes. It was just letting them walk up the court and get into whatever they wanted and everybody just playing back. So that was better?
Much better.
Yeah. And you don't have great ball handlers on that Heat side. You do, when they make it comfortable for a guy like Hero, he can have that 14 assist game he did in game two. But when you turn up the heat and pressure those guys a little bit, it will force 12 turnovers. And again, that's not a big number. But the amount of points they created off of that were impactful in this game. And you know, probably, what is it, 24-4 in the end off turnovers? I mean, that's the whole game right there. So that's something obvious that they didn't do in game two that just changed everything here. And again, the Heat are going to adjust to that. And what are you going to do in game four, which is probably going to be much more contested? But you took away their threes. You took away their freedom of movement offensively and some good efforts across the perimeter in that regard. And then they were able to just kind of shuffle guys into Porzingis at the rim, you know, who's mostly down there for this game as well. So it was just a great effort on that end. That was Joe's big thing after the game is they didn't switch up the scheme in any major way or put in any changes per se. It was a lot more about effort and just attention to detail out there. And he got killed after game two, rightfully so, to quote Marcus Smart. But it was about efforts too. You know, the players, I think, just failed with the efforts in that game too, as much as Joe did with the adjustments on the fly. So I think the players deserved a lot of heat for that. And they all responded in turn in this game.
So what does Miami do to adjust, or did they do the one thing that can keep that could get them the one W, and that's basically it? But that's what I mean. It's like they got to get the threes and they got to shoot them at 50%. Is that the only formula for them to win to win this series, Evan?
Yep, it's a math problem. Said it as we said on Celtics Beat. It's a math problem. The Heat are going to try and make this series a math problem, and they're going to bank on Boston shooting cold at some point from 3-point range. They did tonight, and it didn't matter, which should be scary for Miami. Boston has been able to control the paint, I think, a decent amount. You know, Bam is going to keep doing these, you know, fake left, fake right, turn around over either shoulder and try and, you know, bloop one in over Porzingis. That's fine. I'll live with that all day long. But, you know, if you can handle Miami shooting and run them off 3-point line, make them take tough twos, that's fine with me. But Miami, I would expect to try and generate more 3-point, you know, more 3-point shots, maybe more spacing next game, to try and get better looks. But it's going to be a math problem. And Spoelstra, I'll give him a lot of credit for trying, but I just don't think this is going to be in the cards here. It's just too much talent. No way.
Hey, yeah. I didn't watch the game. You guys keep talking. I'm just hearing
kind of wild cards on throw out there.
Here
as
a passenger.
See Spoelstra just doing something that we haven't seen yet. So I wonder what that looks like. But if the Celtics stay true to who they are and, you know, being that that team that wants it more, I think that's a big difference compared to, you know, in contrast to what we saw in game two. Miami just wanted that one more. And I feel like this one, from start to finish, you got the sense that, well, not only did they want it more and the effort was there, but the connectivity, you know, between all the players and Joe going deeper into his bench, you know, I think that was good, you know, especially for a playoff team on the road, just trying to show that they're the better team, you know. And that's what you do when a series is tied 1-1 and you want to send that message. They did that in a big way tonight.
I wonder if you'll see more. There's been a lot of like doubling of Jaylen Brown as soon as he gets the ball and as soon as he puts the ball on the floor. I've been noticing that they're trying to get speed Jaylen up a little bit to create turnovers, and that even that really hasn't happened that much yet. I wonder if they'll try and up the ball pressure a little bit more.
That was the one thing I noticed early that worked for them in this one is they are trying to force him to shoot, not like the Warriors did, where they're leaving him wide open. But they're willing to put him on Hero in some of those mismatches and hope that he just shoots himself out of the game. And he almost did early with that 0-for-4 start. So that's something that worked for them in this game. They're clearly defending well. I still think they disrupted Boston at parts of this game and forced them to, you know, call a timeout or just regroup. The bench units, I felt like, were huge in this game for them. That's something that the Heat can't match because they just don't have the bodies. I mean, again, no one's going to say DeLon Wright decided this game, but when you're down that many guys and you lose another guy and they don't trust Kevin Love,
yeah,
and
there's a tipping
Bryant's
point.
Bryant's on that rotation and Patty Mills can't play, you run out of bodies. And I feel like the Heat ran out of bodies tonight. So if Wright's out again on Monday, they're done. I just don't think they have enough guys. And there's only so many adjustments and gimmicks you can try at that point. And you hate to rule them out. But if the Celtics take this seriously and they go all in on defense with their effort and intensity, I just don't see the Heat being able to score with them. And that's still what's so disappointing about game two, is that they just didn't play defense.
As Evan said, math.
Yeah.
It's just math. They can't keep up. They can't generate enough offense. But let me ask you this. With the Celtics guys, for the guys in the locker room, it's always the thing that comes next with them, right? Like, great. They play like the best team you've ever seen. You know, 86 Celtics, you know, whatever. Flawless basketball. And then they come out and lay an egg in another game. Then they come back out and they're like, oh, no, let's get serious. It's always what's next. You get the feeling like this is the 1-in-10 game two, or that there's a chance of a repeat as well. Because honestly, during the regular season, they would wash these away pretty quick. Almost every abomination was followed by like a 7-game win streak. So like we'd get all up in a lather about it, get all hot and bothered, and then they just put it behind them. You get the sense that like that was the only wake-up call they needed, the game two stinker, and that's it. Like, this is over. Is it over?
I mean, I think so, but
hell yeah.
Over.
It's a wrap.
Can't do it. I don't know when it's going to happen, game four, game five, but I had the series going six. I just don't see the Heat losing three straight. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe it is another anomaly shooting night. Maybe it's the Celtics just falling asleep in a game five up 3-1 at this point. But I do think they're going to have to come down here. And if they don't, and that's just one anomaly game in game two, I think that's a success of a series. You know, you're not going to sweep them. No one's sweeping teams across the NBA at all for the most part now.
Unless you're Denver.
So I think that'll be a success.
unless you're Denver or OKC. It's a good time
here. OKC, the top two teams out west.
Yeah, I mean, there were only two last year, and one was Brooklyn, who shouldn't have been in the playoffs anyway.
Lakers hanging in there.
Five would be a success.
Lakers are still going to win that game. Don't worry.
I don't want to keep you guys too long. I just wanted to say hi. I'm going to let you guys wrap the show because Evan Valenti's already been on here for an hour and 25 minutes. We didn't tell him this was a 2-hour ordeal. So I'm going to go and I'm going to let you guys wrap it naturally. I just wanted to say hello. I saw Jimmy Toscano and we saw two Messi goals. We almost saw a Hattie. Two Messi's, one Suarez. That's where we were tonight.
Jeez. The team's sad. Yeah.
Who's the final score?
That's
Messi. Messi almost can't not score. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like he had the ball. I mean, he almost had a hat trick too. It got stopped, and then somebody banged home the rebound. Suarez came in like the 75th minute, scored like 5 minutes later. So it's ridiculous. And he's 37, but whatever. They're still
in this league, though. Yeah, he'll be all right.
It's awesome. It's just a different sport. Messi's. It was worth seeing in person, but I apologize to the Garden Report faithful for missing it. And thanks to Evan for filling in. But yeah, hey. I'm going to peace out. I'll let you guys wrap the show wherever you guys had it. I just want to say hello.
I just want to know, I guess I need like some sort of hat item. This is a hard hat thing going on. Bobby's got the bucket hat. I mean, I missed out on this hat thing.
Hair is terrific though. Like,
it's true. I have
you been using Nutrafol.
Evan
did the read.
We're a buck 30 in. We got to get Nutrafol. I'm gonna get out of here.
No. John, we did it, but Evan,
we did it. Evan, you can never mention it.
Remind the public that that hair is natural. So I respected him for that. Like, hey, listen, you know, if you guys need it, that's great. I don't, but
when Evan's like 97 years old, then might he consider Nutrafol. But up until then. That's not going anywhere. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Good. All right. I've talked too much today. I'll
Evan's
see you guys
having
later.
Fun.
Hey, you know,
later, guys.
I'm comfortable now. It's hour and a half in. I'm getting comfortable.
Hey, that's what we do this time of year. Thank God it was a 6 o'clock. Sorry.
Yeah. That's fair. I think we got everything covered here. I think the soccer player in the world today.
Look at
him. I think so. Did you guys talk about the little scuffle? I like that moment. You had Martin in the mix again.
Briefly.
For that. Come on now. You know that.
Yeah. That was good. That's the only other thing I have from this one is it's great to see Pritchard in the mix. Tatum called him the most confident guy he's ever seen.
You mean the guy that didn't take a single shot in game two? Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, I don't think he had the opportunity to. I don't think they utilized him enough. I don't think they utilized White enough last game. So to see them make a conscious effort to get the ball back in their hands is probably the last thought I have from this game. Pritchard's – it looks more and more like Pritchard's going to be an X factor in them winning a title. Because, you know, Hauser's going to do the Hauser things, and he's going to have his role. It's pretty steady. He fouled four times in this one and didn't shoot great. But Pritchard, if you get him the ball, if you get him opportunities to do something with it, he's going to make plays. And in this game, it's two offensive rebounds. The defensive energy's been there all year. You hate to see them get away from a guy like that last game, not only from a shot perspective, but from a minute perspective too. I think he only had like 12 last game. So they phased him out a little bit too much, and they could have used that in that last game. I thought Holiday was so bad offensively in that last game that you probably should have got away from him and went to Pritchard. And those are, you know, those are still the things we're going to watch from Missoula for the rest of the series. Can you make those tough decisions rotation-wise if certain guys don't have it? It was Porzingis last game. It was Holiday last game. You know, could you have closed with Pritchard and Horford in that game? But luckily tonight, Porzingis bounced back. Holiday was much better, even without a huge offensive role. And you still found ways to get Pritchard involved. So, you know, all the whole team effort is what's important here.
Yeah, and you didn't play like your best game. I mean, defensively, yeah. I thought they were really good, but offensively, lots of problems. Didn't shoot the ball well from the field. Didn't shoot it all that great from 3-point range. And yet, you won by 20 on the road. That, if you're Miami, you've got to be thinking like, damn, they came in here, kicked our ass by 20, and they didn't really play great. Because you're watching them, because when you're preparing to play a team like the Celtics and then they play the way they did, you know that there's a different level that they can kick it into that you have yet to see. The Celtics haven't really had one of those games where they were clicking at both ends of the floor. And if you're Miami, that's a little scary, because when that happens, that's when you get the 50 burger.
He's due, Sharon.
If the Celtics have a game where the offense and defense is clicking, then Miami, you pull out the white flag. It's a wrap. You're done. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think you will see a very desperate Miami Heat team on Monday night.
Well, no, when you bring up the 50 burger, Sherrod, I'm thinking to myself, you haven't seen the best version of the Celtics yet, but you also haven't seen the best of Tatum or Jaylen. I mean, either one of these guys could – go off for, I don't know, 40, 45 points, you know, whatever the case may be. And I think that's something that might happen in the next couple of games, you know. And not only should that be enough in my opinion, but I think it would be great to see one of those guys just have sort of a signature performance from this series, because that's how talented they are, obviously. But also, it'll show me that, you know, like they're ready to put this team away for good, you know. And the whole team put up an effort in this game that gave you the sense that they wanted more, like I said earlier. But I just think guys like Tatum and Jaylen, you know, it's like coming up, you know. You guys see that as well, you know. I just think one of these guys is going to go off, and it might be Tatum, but either way, it's going to be great for this team, you know. I think they're going to benefit from it in a big way. It's going to be a momentum, going to push the momentum even further.
I think it'll be Jaylen. I think Jaylen's going to have one of those guys. He's the problem that I just don't think Miami has anything reasonable that they can throw out to slow him down when he gets going. He's getting to the middle of the paint for that pull-up jump shot that they can't stop. He's still knocking down the corner three ball when he gets that. And in transition, he's finishing. So he's a problem. He's a major problem for them.
I'll be honest. I'll give you a hot take here. I would prefer if Tatum didn't have a 50-point game. I would rather him score like 28 to 30 and just dish out assists.
That's an interesting question. I think in this series, that's the better Tatum. There are two games. I thought he scored well in game two, didn't pass much. Then in game one, you get his 10-assist game where you're going off offensively. So I think that's a fair take, Evan.
Yeah. And speaking of Tatum, you know, again, what's beautiful about this show is we get a lot of, you know, post-game sound in this show. Tatum after the game just talking about how Boston was able to get a rebound and be more of a pain in the ass for Miami in game three tonight.
Like you said, I think our attention to detail and on a defensive end today was a lot better than last game, and tried our best, right, to just not let them get comfortable, get in the rhythm. They're going to make shots, but just try to make it as tough as you can, as often as you can.
Yeah, Jason, defensively, Joe said there weren't many adjustments. Was it just a matter of picking up the intensity and taking pride in guarding your yard?
Yeah, giving up offensive rebounds and, you know, closeouts. We could have had some better closeouts in game two, where they just, you know, we kind of gave up some walk-up threes and things like that. Just better at contesting. It was, you know, kind of an effort thing.
Totally agree with Tatum on that one. Absolutely.
But kind of an effort thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when Tatum's like 28, you know, 9 and 9. Like I love when Tatum's involved both ends of the floor, playing defense, grabbing rebounds, and dishing out assists. That's the most lethal Tatum, and that's my preference.
Yeah.
Well, boys. Monday tip is at 7:30, something like that.
I don't know if it's official yet, but that's what I heard.
TBD.
Yeah.
That's going on.
I think that's most likely, though.
All right. Well, there'll be another Garden Report after game four. Yes, gentlemen.
Yes, that's not TBD.
We'll be with you, Bobby and Josue, down in Miami. We'll see what these. I'm just curious how outfit wise, what you guys are coming out with for game four, because I'm pleasantly surprised.
I can see Josue rocking some pastel, little pastel colors. You know,
we came with some good stuff today. I'll tell you this.
If I'm on game four, I will come throwing serious heat on this show. If I'm on game four, boys, you better step it up. I'm coming out of the closet. It'll be
all right.
Full on show in this show. I promise you. But that
being said, get the substitute PJ here. I like it.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
For game four, I'm just going to go with my usual. Come with the usual.
Hey, that heat.
That's a good one.
That's fine. We love that. We love that. Like, we're gonna make this a thing. I'm thrilled. Thank you all for having me. Appreciate it. Everybody in the comment section. You guys are the greatest. I can't believe you guys have been going at this for 1.5 hours. Unbelievable. For great Bobby job, and Joe Sway down in Miami. Thank you, boys, for joining us. Appreciate you. Sherrod, thanks for having me. John Zanis, who's not even here right now. Shout out to John. Shout out to Jackson and Amit, who are just the greatest for keeping this thing moving, plugging.
Producer boys.
Those guys.
The producer right now, boys. Show, I like that.
This show does not happen without the help of the guys behind the scenes. Those guys are incredible. I'm serious. It made me super comfortable in this chair. Appreciate those guys. But everybody. Celtics up 2-1. Game four in Miami coming to you Monday. Garden Report on CLNS Media coming to you right after the game. For Josue, for Bobby, for Sherrod, for John Zanis at home, for Jimmy too, who apparently has a hard hat somewhere. I'm Evan. We'll see you guys next time here on the Garden Report.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.